everyone, welcome to The Great American Bash. My name is Brandon Weatherby. The Great American Bash is a podcast about the intersections of presidential politics and professional wrestling. Co-host and co-author Chris Kelly and I are experts in the field, considering that we're the authors of the book, The Donald, How Trump Turned Presidential Politics into Pro Wrestling. You could find that and pieces that we've written for places like The Washington Post and Slate, Vice, U.S. News and World Reports, and more at presidentwrestler.com. To listen to the newest episode of The Great American Bash, follow us on Facebook. It's facebook.com/GabPod, G-A-B-P-O-D. This episode includes a chat with Bleacher Report and co-host of the Masked Man podcast, Dave Schilling, and was recorded June 15th, 2017. Here's episode 46 of The Great American Bash.
You smell what Barack has cooked.
I'm here to challenge you to a match.
When it comes to standing up for the American people, though, I am ready to rumble.
I think that we may need a wrestler in the White House.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Great American Bash. My name is Brandon Weatherby.
My name is Chris Kelly.
We are sitting in Washington, D.C., home of the Trump International Hotel and current home of our universal champion, Donald J. Trump.
It's Thursday, June 15th, day 146 of the Donald's Universal Championship reign, about 8:25 in the morning, prime Trump tweeting time, so we'll be updating as it happens.
Oh, brother. Speaking of brother, we are actually qualified to do this podcast about the intersections of presidential politics and professional wrestling because we wrote a book.
It's called The Donald, How Trump Turned Presidential Politics into Pro Wrestling. It's available on Amazon at DonaldTrumpIsAWrestler.com, PresidentWrestler.com.
There it is. I bought PresidentWrestler.com about a year ago. Someone thought I was silly.
It was me. It me. Yeah, we write about this stuff a lot. I recently wrote a piece in the Baltimore City paper about WWE wrestler Rich Swann's journey from Rosedale, Maryland to the WWE. And you also will be talking about, probably, I'm guessing you'll be talking about this stuff at the Kennedy Center.
Yeah, I have a show at the Kennedy Center on Thursday, June 22nd. Come to that. The last time I was at the Kennedy Center was the night of Brexit.
Mm-hmm.
And in the programming, I said that the Cubs would win the 2016 World Series.
Check.
And that John Cena and The Rock would run for president.
Check.
So that's what's going on. This has been a very interesting week. We were supposed to record yesterday. I'm very glad that we did not, because something very sad happened.
Yes.
Which was the shooting before the congressional baseball game. That is tonight. There's not
congressional baseball practice.
Yes. The game is tonight.
Yes.
I apologize.
Hopefully there won't be another shooting tonight.
And I've covered that in the past. So it's a very, very weird time here in Washington, D.C.
Yeah. But we were also supposed to possibly do a second episode last week when there was Comey Mania to cover. Which, as this stuff happens, 9 days have passed. Comey Mania is but a memory.
It's sort of like this year's WrestleMania.
It happened. It was long. It wasn't as long as this year's Mania.
I'm glad the Hardys are back, but is he broken yet? I don't know.
Yeah, what's going on? Which brings us to our big show.
Well, it's a big show.
Special Prosecutor Mueller is investigating Trump for possible obstruction of justice. From the Times reporting, Trump had received private assurances from then-FBI Director James B. Comey starting in January that he was not personally under investigation. Officials say that changed shortly after Comey's firing. So now he's being investigated for the thing.
Please describe this in wrestling terms.
So Trump believed his gimmick that he could just fire anybody he wants and say his catchphrase, but he worked himself into a shoot investigation. So I'm starting, you know, and I think I don't think Trump and Putin sat down and were like, here's how we're going to swing the election.
No, no, no.
But even if it's just his underlings having meetings, trying to set up some payments, set up some back channels, make some shady business deals, make some Kushner meeting a shady Russian businessman, whatever it is, there's something there. Trump could be totally oblivious to it, but Trump, his need for legitimacy, anything that questions his legitimacy of that electoral map he likes so much, he can't stand. It's like Vince, the legitimacy that he's fighting for so desperately.
This is every single wrestler story you read about from like the 60s to now.
Mm-hmm.
Now you probably won't get in a fight at a bar unless you meet like Sheamus or something. I have no idea if that's true. I just think that he's like the one guy. But this is every... I just read the Roddy Piper book, and there's just story after story of like, yeah, some guy challenged him at a bar, so he had to fight. Like, that's this.
Yeah.
But, and you that's know, the president.
Yeah. And like, yeah, the fake wrestler would be fine just getting his money and having his beer, but now he's in a real fight. because someone questioned his legitimacy.
There's consequences. Maybe. Yeah. We don't know that.
Well, I mean, yeah. I mean, if you're Jimmy Snuka, eventually you'll die. Yeah, the other interesting part of this investigation is investigators have also been looking for any evidence of possible financial crimes among Trump associates. So have fun with that.
So I thought...
That's your whitewater right there.
Oh, boy. I thought that was not going to happen this week.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, this was inevitable. This was definitely going to happen. I didn't think it would happen on his birthday.
Yeah.
And a day that featured a shooting of a congressman. It's just it was a crazy week.
Yeah. Just things coming fast and furious. So his only crime here that he's now probably being investigated for is actually firing Comey, causing obstruction of justice. I think firing Mueller would also be obstruction of justice, which is something that he was rumored to be considering. But once again, like he's on Apprentice, quote, "The president was pleased by the ambiguity of his position on Mr. Mueller and thinks the possibility of being fired will focus the veteran prosecutor on delivering what the president desires most, a blanket public exoneration."
Mueller has said nothing.
Yeah, because he's not going to, because he's a professional. And it's just great that he's like dangling, getting fired at the season finale. Like, it's just insane. But Trump is dealing with it well, considering it's been a crazy couple days. So here's him this morning on Twitter.
Yeah, this is from 28 minutes ago.
Yeah, you want to read it?
Yeah. "You are witnessing the single greatest," all caps, "witch hunt in American political history, led by some very bad and conflicted people. Hashtag Umaga, brother."
Before we get to Umaga, brother, before that, he said, "They made up a phony collusion with the Russian story, found zero proof, so now they go for obstruction of justice on the phony story. Nice." Sarcastic New Yorker president champion Donald Trump. Yeah, how we've not... So MAGA, Make America Great Again, how have we not realized that it's one letter off from you, MAGA, you make America great again. Umaga.
Look for that op-ed by one of us in the Washington Post.
Guess which one? Umaga, rest in peace. A member of the Samoan family. We'll get to a Samoan later on the show, but he was Donald Trump's champion or challenger at the Battle of the Billionaires. And yeah, we haven't been saying hashtag Umaga this whole time, and I'm really disappointed in us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We failed you.
We failed you, listener. So, like we said, the shooting yesterday, where a 66-year-old man from the great state of Illinois, a Bernie supporter, shot five people, including Congressman Steve Scalise, who I believe is still in critical condition. Thank God there's no wrestling analog there, but yeah, it was a big... It could have been a really big day for the story of having 200 congressmen join the lawsuits against Trump for possibly violating the
Emoluments Act. So this is the closest the Democrats are going to get to an impeachment because they don't have the numbers. But this might lead to Trump having to show financial records in a court.
Right.
So...
Yeah, that's, I put that with the stuff with Mueller, them looking at Trump's finances.
Yeah, this has nothing to do with Mueller.
No, I'm saying it doesn't. But
I know that.
But like, that's where this stuff, the confluence of things start to come together.
So that's at about 12 hours apart, all this news came out.
Yeah.
And both of those things will probably be overshadowed. Maybe not the Mueller thing, but this is
probably not the shooting thing will be overshadowed.
There is actually a wrestling analogy or analog. When Vince was going through the steroid stuff and no one cared anymore because actual problems were going on, that's what this is.
Like what actual problems?
I think this was it. OJ at the time, was it 94? No, this was like 92.
Mm-hmm.
I feel like Vince got lucky.
There was another bigger story.
Yeah, what's going on right now.
Right, he got the Bill Cosby luck.
Yeah,
where he's like below the fold. Couple below the fold things that I think were pertinent for this podcast. This week, before all this, Donald Trump had a cabinet meeting where everyone lavished him with praise, an early birthday present.
This reminded me of something.
Was it the Kiss My Ass Club? Which we've talked about before. This feels like forever ago. When Trump had the dinner with Romney, when Romney was kissing ass and looked like his soul had left his body. This is like that, but everyone wants to be there, wants to be saying he's so great, especially our leader of the SBA.
morning, Mr. President. Thank you for the opportunity to serve at SBA, and I can tell you that as I haven't been traveling internationally, but I've been traveling around the country, and what I'm continuing to hear is this renewed optimism from small businesses, higher than it's been in about 16 years. So those people returning to the workforce, a lot of them are because small businesses are creating new jobs. So loan portfolios are up, mentoring and our outreach with SCORE and our other programs are being so successful. So thank you. We're on a good trajectory and still a lot of work to do.
Thank you.
It was a great Kiss My Ass Club meeting, I think. Very successful.
I don't understand why anyone was surprised by this.
The great leader stuff?
Yeah.
I think it's not surprising. It's like, I think it's just funny.
I don't think it's... I think there's a lot of people that are... See, I work in a co-working space with CNN on 24/7.
Yeah, yeah. No, there's people who worked in the shoots. They think it's like it's like bad and it's a cult of personality. CM Punk's theme song. I mean,
great theme song.
Yeah, it is. Also, probably in the Kiss My Ass Club at some point, Dennis Rodman, an associate of Donald Trump's. Well, I'm sure he had to kiss his ass on The Apprentice on the two seasons he was on.
I didn't realize he was on two.
That's what a news source said.
I
don't know. I didn't fact check
it. I remember watching like a half of one episode just because it was Tom Green and Dennis Rodman, and it was the
episode. Your two idols.
It was the episode that Tom Green is kicked off and fired because he parties too late with Dennis Rodman.
Oh, that's amazing.
And they didn't want to fire Rodman because he's too cool. So I actually don't think Rodman joined the Kiss My Ass Club
because
he was he's a cool bro. He's in the NWO.
Yeah, and as part of his New World Order responsibilities, he's currently in North Korea, where he possibly might be creating a back channel to Kim Jong-un, which is that's not a joke. That's a shoot. He gave the country's sports minister a copy of Art of the Deal. It wasn't signed by Trump, so he got it at the airport. And he says it has nothing to do with the White House, but come on. Two seasons Celebrity Apprentice, WCW, NWO, like
World Championship Wrestling. New World Order.
Yeah, I mean, come on. New World Order, like, wake up, people.
So this message wasn't brought to you by the United States government.
The following announcement has been paid for by the New World Order.
The New World Organization, if you're Hulk Hogan. So another story that, with some wrestling analogs this week, or within the last week, is that Megyn Kelly, at her new position on NBC, interviewed Alex Jones, someone we've talked about a lot because his promo style is clearly borrowed from the world of wrestling.
His whole gimmick is... The fact that he's a gimmick and he's gone to court and said, I have a gimmick.
Yeah, that's...
He broke kayfabe and lost.
Did he lose his kids?
He lost.
Oh, man.
So this
broke kayfabe and he lost his kids. That's like, which is worse?
Breaking kayfabe because that's where the money is, baby. So here's what I don't understand about this, and I'm glad that I don't understand this. You and I are steeped in wrestling and steeped in politics.
Yes.
Alex Jones has been a part of what we've been doing, sadly, for the last 2 years. There's no way around it. He's friends with Billy Corgan, who owns... Jesus Christ, this is such a weird time. I was shocked that there was any outrage with Megyn Kelly putting Alex Jones on NBC. Because I didn't think that stuff mattered anymore.
Right. Well, it shouldn't, because Donald Trump is the president.
Exactly. So, to me, even if you don't know who the Sandy Hook truther is, you should still know of him. Mm-hmm. You shouldn't pretend that it doesn't exist. Pretending it doesn't exist, we are where we are now, I think.
Right.
I think that if you pay attention to this whatsoever, if you were outraged whatsoever, you already have Alex Jones in your life.
Yeah.
Or do you disagree?
No, I think the distinction is that this is a time where he actually has a platform. Like, the Alex Jones stuff is fun for us, for the wrestling stuff. It's destructive and bad for democracy, and it helped, but it's such a small part of it compared to like Fox News. Like, your grandparents were not watching Alex Jones. It's a small... I mean, look at the numbers. Like, the site InfoWars is not a major player. I mean, they seed the stories that go to Fox News. It's important in that way, but Fox News and like where Megyn Kelly was, they were doing stuff that was much more, you know, effective on democracy than...
I'm just thinking
Alex
about
Jones
that. It's an interesting
and
point.
And this is a mainstream... I mean, the guy like hosts a talk show from his basement. I mean, he's not a legit guy. NBC, for you know, however you feel about them, they are one of the major networks. So putting him on that platform, it's not like him talking shit in his basement loses advertisers, because there's no advertising, you know, other than like buy gold.
Here's the thing. InfoWars has 297,000 followers on Twitter. That's a good amount. It's not as high as I would have thought.
But those are like bots. It doesn't matter. Those numbers are, these numbers are meaningless. It's not, there's not that many eyeballs on them as much as NBC or Fox News.
Alex Jones has 642,000. I understand that.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's not nothing.
They're no, it's not insignificant, but it's like wrestling. Like there's a lot of, like fine, look how many followers John Cena has or Roman Reigns, and then ask a normal, okay, a normal person might know Cena. But like look up Roman Reigns' followers and then go ask a normal person who the fuck Roman Reigns is and no one will know. Because it's like Alex Jones is big, you know, as far as conservative, you know, arch conservative conspiracy theorists go, but he's not on NBC every night. But anyway, that's this whole thing of what changes here.
Yeah, Roman Reigns has 2.3 million followers.
And go ask anybody on the street and it will take you quite a while to find someone.
Also, he gets free crab cakes for life from Jimmy Seafood, so that's the thing he most recently.
Is he going to put Jimmy Seafoods on his trunks?
I hope he does.
Jimmy Seafood versus...
Quick aside here.
Jimmy John's.
Brock Lesnar came back this week, and
yes.
Brock Lesnar still has this Jimmy John's logo on the back of his t-shirt. And I think that by having a giant corporate sponsor on your clothing makes you the most legitimate fighter. Not like big fighter, because that's what boxers have. I mean like guy in a bar that would get in a fight.
Would wear a Jimmy John's merch.
So I think that that is an accidental perfect t-shirt.
Yeah. No, I think it works for him. But the last point on this Jones stuff is that this is like, this reminded me of when WWE, after the Attitude Era, going to the PG Era, being corporate, losing advertisers because of the shit they were doing on TV, forced them to change. And that's what this is. This is like when WWE was big enough that it brushed up against the mainstream, that's when they had to change stuff.
It's a very, very good point. And I know I shouldn't be surprised. I'm glad I'm surprised.
Yeah.
Maybe, if anything, this just shows how I consume media and how different it is than the average American, which is great. I'm glad that they don't do this.
Yeah, you shouldn't watch Alex Jones promos. You should watch Ultimate Warrior promos, like that time he was on Regis and Kathy Lee.
So, have you ever seen this clip?
I have not.
Oh, it's so good. This is one of the things that made me incredibly happy with wrestling. He didn't really break kayfabe, but this is when he was going through a title run in like 87, 88. And he had Ultimate Warrior on his cheeks in a kid-friendly way and looked way more like his good friend Sting than, you know, Alex Jones. Here's a clip of it.
Good to see you. Have a seat, right? For a minute, I thought I had Cody.
No, it's not Cody.
I said he has Cody with him. No, it's not.
No, it's
Cody.
All about Cody.
No, who is this? Who
this is
this?
This is my protective package, though, Regis.
You know, I always said, didn't I say yesterday, the Ultimate Warrior has a link with
like
the,
a spirit.
Yes, with the Indian ancestors.
Well, I saw the little warrior running around back there. I'm talking about Cody.
Yeah.
And in this day, in this world, you need to do all that you can. I know he's got the perfect upbringing with you as his mother, the most beautiful TV. Television personality.
The most beautiful woman on television. Let's get it right, Ultimate.
I like the way he's saying it.
No challengers, no challengers. And with Frank Gifford as a father.
Yeah, that's a good point.
But I wanted to give you this for
Thank
Cody.
Thank you, Ultimate.
So anytime you may feel.
Can I call you Ultimate?
You can call me whatever you want.
Thank you, that's very sweet.
You're very welcome. Thank
the
you.
Little Ultimate.
The little baby
it's
Ultimate.
It's the big Ultimate, this is the little Ultimate.
This is great. Warrior. Are these available in stores for kids?
Yeah, they are.
That's
well, Ultimate
One,
tell us
it.
About, you know what, I see you on TV, you're always, you know, you're
bigger than life.
You're bigger than life. But where are you from?
Parts unknown.
Parts unknown.
It's hard to get there, too. You can't buy a plane ticket.
Yeah.
I think that this is what Alex Jones is going to present this weekend on NBC. I will not be watching it because it's time for Money in the Bank.
Yeah. It is time for Money in the Bank. We're not going to talk about Raw stuff. You did mention Brock Lesnar came back.
I watched all of my homework. Yeah.
Okay. Well, I skimmed through it. I watched 3 minute Raw on our Facebook page that I make. Brock and Samoa Joe had their contractual pull apart.
It was great.
Which is looks like a legit fight once again, and that's why people want to see this. And maybe we'll actually get two matches out of it. Is the new rumor not
Ooh,
just the one at
great.
WWE Great Balls of Fire. Which no longer, they changed the logo. The logo is no longer a fiery cock and balls.
They'll change it again. Don't worry.
You just want the merch.
So, yeah, we've said this before. If anyone listening is going to attend Great Balls of Fire merch, and for some reason someone's selling some bootleg stuff in the parking lot, buy it for us.
Yes.
Buy everything that says Great Balls of Fire, official or unofficial, I want it.
But the things that were interesting on Raw the last couple weeks, apparently, is people are on the same wavelength as us. This week, there was a McMahon-Austin 2020 sign. Last week, there was a Johnson Hanks shirt in the front row.
Yeah, I missed that.
Yeah.
I only saw because it was in a recap video.
Nice.
For something else. So they're not blurring that out.
Oh, yeah.
And they will cut people out. So
yeah, they will tell people to put your sign down if it, like, says Roman Reigns is a Holocaust denier. They'll, like, make you put that away.
Was that Mania? Was some guy just walking around?
Unconfirmed. We're also,
you know what's sad is what? I could have said, speaking of Holocaust deniers, and we could have segued to any story this week.
Oof. It's rough. It's been a rough week. But thankfully, in a couple weeks, it's all going to be better. Because free agent John Cena will be back on the 4th of July. John Cena's back.
I'm so happy.
Yeah. Did you see the free agent thing, though? That they're clearly nervous about Raw and that the fact that he might have to both defend America from Jinder Mahal and then go on Raw and try to make sense of whatever's happening on Raw.
Could he just have all the belts? Could he?
Yeah.
Could we make him that Triple H?
The Infinity Gems one? Yeah, we should. John Cena hopefully gets his record-breaking, hopefully takes this belt off Jinder, because, oof, it has been dire. Like you said, it is Money in the Bank this weekend, a SmackDown-branded pay-per-view. We're getting two ladder matches, because sexism is dead in the WWE. There's no more sexism.
Thank you, Stephanie. You did it.
Some people say Stephanie started the women's revolution. the first titular match will be Kevin Owens, AJ Styles, Sami Zayn, Shinsuke Nakamura, Dolph Ziggler, and Baron Corbin in a Money in the Bank ladder match. People are not familiar, so they put a briefcase above the ring. You climb a ladder, you get that. You can cash that briefcase in for a championship match at any point in the next year.
If you follow politics at all, you might have seen the meme floating around January 20th with Bernie running around with it.
Bernie running down the Capitol steps with the Money in the Bank briefcase to take his shot. Do you got any thoughts on the main Money in the Bank match?
You know me, I'm a big Baron Corbin guy.
Good, because he's probably going to win it. So.
Is he really the favorite?
I think so, yeah.
Oh, boy.
And then maybe Shinsuke. It depends which way they go, because depending who's going to have the belt. But, you know, you never know.
Honestly, I don't care.
Sheamus won it 2 years ago. It was bad, and it actually ended up working.
Yeah, I don't care. Yeah. I like the gimmick so much.
It's going to be... This has potential to be...
I should say I don't care who wins, because
it's
hard to screw this up.
Right. Well, fast forward to next week when they've screwed this up and Dolph Ziggler wins or something. But no, it'll be a good match. You got four of the best wrestlers in the world, a guy that bumps like crazy, and Baron Corbin. So it should be fine. There's a women's ladder match featuring the talent that they had available. Becky Lynn, Charlotte Flair, Natalya, Tamina, and Carmella. Someone's going to get really hurt in this one, only because none of them have any experience with this. Like, I will say, a couple weeks ago, they did the brawl on SmackDown, and they were all doing some pretty hard bumps to the outside, table spots, all that, which, even though it's just a ladder match, tables will be involved. Like, there will be other things involved. I have faith in Becky and Charlotte and Natty to try not to kill the other two, but I don't have faith in Tamina and Carmella to not kill themselves or others. No, not actual death. All right, we're not talking about Tamina, you know, her doing anything like her father would do and actually kill someone, but it's not going to be pretty. But Charlotte's winning this one.
I don't know. She doesn't need it.
I want to see her do a moonsault off the turnbuckle.
She's going to do it off of a ladder. She's going to do it off of a ladder.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, God, no.
Yes.
I'm so worried for everyone.
I know.
Everyone be safe.
Everyone be safe.
Boys and girls.
Yes. And thankfully, there will be some levity. The Usos... live from the Uso Penitentiary, the Trap Usos will be facing the New Day for the tag belts. That'll be fun.
Sure.
A women's title match. Naomi versus the returning Ravishing Russian Lana.
So the best part about this is JBL is a SmackDown, not bully at all. JBL is a SmackDown announcer, and he might actually mention some Russian stuff.
Yeah.
The longer this Lana storyline goes. So that's the only reason why I'm hoping Lana wins the belt. She's clearly going to win the belt. And it might get cashed in like a second
right later. Away.
Yeah.
I mean, it's painful.
But
it'll be interesting. This is her second match, televised match. The first one was at WrestleMania 2 years ago. She has not had a televised match since.
She hit a run-in last night or Tuesday night.
Yeah, she hit her.
She did her one move.
Which, by the way, that is like
I know
in finisher school. They're like, oh yeah, do a chicken wing spine buster. Like, it's so weird. It's supposed to be like a dance move.
It looks way more sexual than
it's a fisherman. It's like a wrist lock fisherman spine buster. Like, just do a spine buster. It's just so convoluted. But yeah, it does. I mean, Vince is like, Vince probably wanted a tombstone someone because it looks like 69.
Is that why Taker's your favorite guy?
Yeah, obviously.
Cool.
Yeah. Also, there's a championship match between Jinder Mahal and Randy Orton. So the biggest wrestling angle of the week is not even in the world of wrestling. Yep. Or in the world of politics.
That's debatable.
Okay.
For both of them.
All right.
One of these men has fought and been on a WrestleMania poster. One of these men has feuded with the entire roster, save Triple H, because he's a boss.
Yeah.
And one of these men will most likely run for politics in Ireland. For office in Ireland.
I don't know about that. Yeesh. He's not Pacquiao. Okay, so this week, the long-rumored Floyd Mayweather-Conor McGregor boxing match is actually booked August 26th, week after SummerSlam. And it's an MMA guy going into the world of boxing. We have seen something like this before when the boxer went into the world of pro wrestling, which we've seen many times, but specifically this boxer, Floyd Mayweather, facing the Big Show at WrestleMania 24.
Which was in Florida, and it was hosted by Kim Kardashian.
Who did not know where she was the whole night.
It was wonderful. And we've talked about this before. This is one of the best gimmick fights they've had. Big Show's done a lot of these.
Big Show's had to do
the sumo wrestler. That one wasn't so bad.
But the crowd didn't know.
No.
No one knows. But people got this fight. They knew what they were looking for here.
This is a good build.
Yeah.
They did a really good job.
No DQ boxing wrestling match type thing. The build was really good for this. And the best part of this Mayweather-McGregor thing has been the build. It has been them because they're two of the biggest heels in their respective sports, in all of pro sports, especially McGregor. McGregor being basically Flair, or modeling himself after Flair and doing the Vince McMahon strut and asking for, I love his speech after he won the second belt and apologizing for nothing because he's the two-time champ. Where's my fucking belt? Yeah. So they did this in the lead-up to WrestleMania 24. They bring Mayweather in. There was supposed to be something where he was going to team with someone and then face Rey Mysterio teaming with De La Hoya or something. There was like a whole angle that didn't happen because they didn't get the people they wanted. So they basically just got Mayweather. They bring him in, but they had brought him in kind of as like, yay, it's Floyd Mayweather, except his natural inclination is to be a heel. So they had to kind of switch it up, even though like Big Show was a heel. They kind of did a double turn. Mayweather broke Big Show's nose on Raw.
Yeah, with a shoot punch.
With a shoot punch, which allegedly Big Show said.
Yeah.
And then they did the match. Floyd used brass knucks to win, to take down the giant. I was looking back to some reporting around this time. The cocky, obnoxious Mayweather clearly was portrayed as the heel during the official weigh-in. Big Show, who had a lot of heel heat himself, won the crowd over by bringing out his posse, mostly mid-carders. Message was simple, clear and effective. Mayweather was an outsider who was going to make more money in one night than most wrestlers would earn in their entire careers, and he was flaunting it. Which is what Conor is going to try to do. Kind of. He's going to try to make more money than any UFC guy has made in his entire career in one night by probably getting knocked out by Floyd Mayweather because he's not a boxer and he's not going to be able to use brass knucks. It's not going to be CM Punk Mickey Gall because Conor McGregor is a trained killer, but because that's what UFC is. And that's why we all like it, but he's going for that payday though, and then maybe one day closer to joining the WWE.
Yeah, that's what we're going to do. I think we're going to be talking about this fight pretty much more than any other feud for the rest of the year.
Yeah,
I mean it's only 2 months away. They're kind of not.
They're not going to be. That's the kind of disappointing part is they're not going to have enough time to really. Build the heat.
I'm surprised they didn't put this on for New Year's Eve.
I think the fact that they were able to, actually do it and make it work.
So one of the things that I'm excited for is who might call this match. So this is a Showtime production.
Mm-hmm.
It's pay-per-view. But that means that a recently free agent from the WWE booth might end up calling this which is crazy.
Mauro Ranallo, Mamma Mia.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
I really hope that they JBL comes back, bullies him out, and JBL calls this match, because that would be poetic justice.
I want JBL to challenge either Floyd or Connor to a shoot fight and be murdered by one of the little men. I think that'll be his comeuppance. By the way, this is not even the only UFC WWE angle this week. There's rumors again that Ronda Rousey, it's probably fair to say ex-UFC at this point, Ronda Rousey, she followed a bunch of people. I mean, this is how this shit works. She followed a bunch of WWE people on Twitter. But yeah, there's a chance for her at some point. Probably not till WrestleMania. I don't think they're going to, you know, maybe people will forget at that point that she lost a couple times pretty painfully. I think she'll still have
the gravitas.
Yeah, I think she's still a celebrity. I mean, they put the guy who's on Arrow on SummerSlam. They'll put Ronda Rousey on Mania, all right? It's not that hard.
They put the guy from Arrow on SummerSlam.
Yeah, Cody Rhodes, the guy from Arrow. So, yeah, busy week. A lot of stuff happened here. Still waiting for Donald Trump to tweet again because no one wished him happy birthday. But you... as we did last week, you had an interview this week to supplement our chat here.
Yes. So this is with Dave Schilling. You might know him if you're listening to this as half of the Ringers podcast, The Masked Man. Mm-hmm. If you care more about real sports, you might know him from Bleacher Report. Yeah, you should follow Dave on Twitter. It's Dave_Schilling. One of the reasons I wanted to talk to Dave this week is something happened on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. This week has been very fast. Could you read the tweet for me?
Sure. Alert. Reporters at Capitol have been told they are not allowed to film interviews with senators in hallways, contrary to years of precedent.
Okay, so this is a big deal. This is on Monday. I apologize. This is on Monday. That's how things get done. If you don't harass people, if you don't stand in hallways, if you don't talk to people that don't want to talk to you, you're essentially writing press releases. That's what journalists do. They need access to it. That's what the Trump administration... Sorry, that's what some people in the GOP floated out. We're not going to let you talk to people and do your job.
And the reason that was happening, which we didn't even mention at all, is because they're about to pass a healthcare bill that they haven't even shown to anybody. But that's fine. And then Casey Hunt the next day, or 2 days ago...
No, same day.
Same day?
Same afternoon. One of them was at like 8:30 a.m. and one of them was at 2:30 a.m. 2:30 p.m., I apologize.
Was new. Senate Rules Committee reverses course on hallway interviews. Quote, you may continue to follow the rules as if it was yesterday.
So, to me, the reason why this is important and how it relates to wrestling is that's kind of how the WWE operates. You could run the WWE unlike Congress. You don't have to talk to anyone. They don't allow access to most people. The only people that really have access is ESPN, mm-hmm, because they're in bed with the WWE. This is one of the reasons why the 30 for 30 XFL doc was atrocious. This is one of the reasons if you read their website, you're only going to read glowing reviews. You're not going to read about painkillers. You're not going to read about deaths on the road. No. You're not going to read about unionization. You're not going to read about the physical toll and mental toll that this puts on performers' bodies. Instead, you're going to read about how cool it is that Charlotte Flair could do flippy floppies. And that's fun. That's not journalism. So we talk a little bit about that and a little bit more. And this is definitely the most in-depth conversation we've ever had on the show about Dolph Ziggler. So that's a good tease.
It's currently Wednesday, June 14th at 5 p.m. I'm in Washington, D.C. My co-host and I live and work here. So it's a very weird day for us right now. I'm assuming...
I bet.
Yeah. I'm assuming you're in L.A. right now?
Correct.
How is the shooting being covered out there? Is it everywhere? I mean,
it's a big national news story. It's a huge thing, and you know, you can already see the various sides of the political spectrum trying to use this as a tool, unfortunately, as opposed to just a sad thing. But that's the way the world works these days, isn't it?
Absolutely. So in terms of wrestling and how this relates, is do you think that on Sunday, this is so weird to say out loud, at Money in the Bank, there will be some sort of tribute or acknowledgement of this in any way?
I sincerely doubt it. Yeah. You know, there are shootings, mass shootings that happen all the time, and very rarely does WWE do anything for things like that. I mean, obviously 9/11 and major sort of globally focused events of that nature will get mentions and whatnot. But yeah, I mean, I don't remember WWE doing a Sandy Hook memorial, but I could be wrong about that.
That is in their backyard. They would have, in theory, done something for that. I mean, Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens recently acknowledged a tragedy, but it was sort of in the background.
Yeah, that was, and that was also because they're from Quebec, and they, you know, did small things to reference it and to memorialize that event. And I can certainly see wrestlers doing that, you know, individually, but it's just not, doesn't seem like it's in the corporate DNA of WWE at this point to go around involving themselves in real world events, especially with Linda McMahon very prominently placed in Donald Trump's cabinet.
I think that's a wonderful point to transition into this week's first public cabinet meeting, when everyone pledged allegiance to the Donald and they all joined the Kiss My Ass Club. Did that surprise you in any way, or did that just take you back to Attitude Era Raw?
Yeah, I mean, Donald Trump certainly does seem like he's ruling similarly to Vincent Kennedy McMahon back in the 90s. It's not surprising because that's just what his who he is as a leader of people. You know, not just as a president, but there's plenty of examples of him feeling the need to be reminded of his position. If it's not asking for one more scoop of ice cream than everybody else, it's asking the director of the FBI to pledge loyalty to him. It's, you know, there's all kinds of instances where this guy seems more concerned with reinforcing his place than with doing anything constructive.
You don't seem to talk much about this type of stuff on the Masked Man show, but you will on Twitter. And the Bleacher Report is not a political site. It's a sports site. Are you at all worried or advised to not talk about politics, even if there's something to be said about it?
No, we're allowed to say what we want. You know, we're employees of a company, but there's no censorship whatsoever. No.
Have you gotten any flack or encouragement to talk about these things?
No. No, my job is to report on sports. That's it, and it never comes up.
I haven't seen that much politics meet sports coverage that I used to. I think I used to see more of it, and since the election, people want more of a, it seems that people want more of a separation.
I don't think it's a separation. It's just not, you know, there are moments where it makes sense to talk about, in particular, the Warriors and the question of whether or not they will attend the White House ceremony in their honor. You know, when Steve Kerr speaks out about issues that trouble him, when Greg Popovich speaks out about issues that trouble him, then it becomes part of the narrative of the games because it's people making direct statements. But, you know, I don't think that Hillary Clinton getting an endorsement from LeBron James is any different than any other celebrity endorsing a political candidate, you know? Scott Baio is allowed to endorse Donald Trump if he sees fit. Vince McMahon can donate money to his campaign or what have you. You know, it's the, you have to, as a journalist, especially as a sports journalist, understand and know when that is the story and when it's not the story, and be sure not to spend too much time editorializing or getting too deep into your own feelings. You know, if you want to be a political columnist, then by all means you should. Mm-hmm. That's not to say that people shouldn't speak their minds. You know, there's a lot of great ESPN writers who are very eloquent and thoughtful on social issues. I certainly think Bomani Jones and others, Amin El-Hassan, you know, they speak up about the things that frustrate them. And, you know, on the other side of the coin, Sage Steele speaks up about the things that upset her. And, you know, that's part of being an American, is having an opinion about the state of the country or the state of the world. And that's everyone's right, and it's great.
Let's not talk about the state of the world. Let's talk about the state of the universe. Are you at all excited about Money in the Bank this Sunday?
We just recorded this week's Masked Man, and we went through the card. And I got to say, by and large, other than the two ladder matches, there's not a ton of intrigue.
Uh-huh.
It seems like New Day and the Usos is merely set up for the program to continue. I'm not dying to see that.
Sure.
But I think there's a lot of potential there for it to grow into a really exciting feud going into SummerSlam. The ladder matches themselves should be great. I mean, look at the talent, especially in the men's ladder match. You got Shinsuke Nakamura, Kevin Owens, AJ Styles, Dolph Ziggler's no slouch, and Baron Corbin is Baron Corbin, and he's not going to ruin the match. Sami Zayn, of course, I don't want to not mention Sami Zayn. He's an amazing worker. These guys know ladder matches.
I think
it's going to be really intriguing.
You might have given Baron Corbin the best possible catchphrase that should belong on a search. Baron Corbin, he's not going to ruin a match.
He's not going to ruin it. It'll be fine. Yeah. Uh-huh. I would never look at Baron Corbin to carry anybody to a 5-star classic, but he could be carried. He can't. Excuse me. He can work. I'm not here to malign Baron Corbin. He adds something to it.
You might be the first person that said something positive without any qualifiers about Dolph Ziggler in a year on a podcast. So that's very nice of you.
Yeah, I mean, Dolph Ziggler is a very talented guy. It's unfair to malign him too much. My problem with Dolph Ziggler is mostly that Dolph Ziggler's character is stale.
Okay.
You know, you look at let's say a Bray Wyatt. Bray Wyatt has a next level insane crazy gimmick, and he's been working that gimmick for 3-4 years, or whatever it's been since WrestleMania 30, right before WrestleMania 30, whenever he debuted. And he's had ups and downs in his booking. He's had ups and downs in terms of his match quality, where he's at on the card, being a champion, not being a champion, all of these things. Dolph Ziggler has had similarly schizophrenic booking. He's been working that gimmick for longer than Bray Wyatt, but his gimmick isn't really a gimmick. It's not as creative or unique or adaptable. It's just not. There's no gimmick. He's Shawn Michaels crossed with Billy Gunn. There's really nothing there, and yet they continue to just give him the same music, the same entrance, the same everything, despite the fact that it's been years now. Better wrestlers than him have gotten refreshes in their gimmicks. I understand Bray Wyatt continuing to be Bray Wyatt because it's a great character,
sure,
even if it's not always executed properly. I do not understand Dolph Ziggler continuing to be the show-off. It's not working.
What about last year when they kind of sort of repackaged him as a shoot wrestler? And when he's getting inducted into the Kent State College Wrestling Hall of Fame. Do you think that might have been the gimmick refresh and it just didn't take?
No, because he's still coming out to the same stupid song. I hate that song. There are some WWE entrance themes where they just suck the life out of a crowd.
All right.
And when you hear that, it's just like, oh. When you hear Carmella's entrance theme, you just don't. There's nothing that the crowd wants to do more than sit on their hands.
To play devil's advocate here, I don't think Kevin Owens has a very good entrance song, and he is definitely the guy I want to see the most.
No, I love Kevin Owens' entrance theme. I think it's perfect for his character. It's not Shinsuke Nakamura or Bobby Roode or Finn Balor, but it's good for his character. He gets a good pop when he comes out. I don't think it's nearly as ineffectual as Dolph Ziggler's. It's not obnoxious. There's not the annoying lyrics.
Yeah.
if there were lyrics to Kevin Owens' theme song, it might be kind of lame.
What's worse, Kevin? See, I think Kevin Owens' theme song is so bad, but it's not as bad as Sami Zayn's. And once again, he's another guy I want to see every single week. It doesn't bother me in any way.
Sami Zayn's entrance music fits his character perfectly.
Absolutely.
You don't have to like the song for it to be effective.
Sure.
There are tons of, like, I'm not going to the gym and listening to Rusev's theme song when I'm working out. I would never choose to listen to that song, but it works for his character. I think that Dolph Ziggler's theme music actually works against him because it has historical connections to him being a loser. He needs a refresh. People see him as an enhancement talent, like high-priced, upper-class enhancement talent.
And the only way to
get rid of that stigma is to change his look and change his character and make him a different guy instead of the same guy you've seen jobbing out every week.
I haven't flushed this out. Is Dolph Ziggler the Mitt Romney of the WWE? He's high-priced. He's had many chances at getting the big gold belt, but it never clicked. Both sides of the aisle respect him, and they want him to be Secretary of State, but it just doesn't make sense for Vince to put him there.
Yeah, I think that's a fair comparison. Someone who just never quite got the job done, who was given a lot of chances, but maybe didn't see what his own deficiencies were. And I think Dolph Ziggler's deficiencies could be papered over with another gimmick. Look at Bobby Roode. Bobby Roode was just a guy. He was in what, Beer Money? In TNA? Goofy gimmick. And then he comes to NXT and no one's like, oh, Bobby Roode is going to be the next NXT champion. He's going to be a huge deal. He's going to sell a ton of merchandise and people are going to be talking about him. No one thought, oh, this guy's definitely headlining takeovers. And then he got a great theme song and a cool entrance, and that was it. That's all he needed to go to the next level. And I think that's something Dolph Ziggler could really benefit from. It's just a complete refresh and rethink about what are his strengths, what are his weaknesses, and how do we overcome them.
Yeah,
Shinsuke Nakamura is a guy who doesn't speak very good English, and the best way for him to connect to the audience is to just use his body and to emote and to express himself through movement, and that's what his entrance is. People love him because of that, and the more you make him talk, the less popular he becomes. So accentuate the positives and eliminate the negatives.
Did you see this week's Talking Smack?
I do not watch Talking Smack. I watch enough wrestling as it is. I was going to say, I know that he was a guest. I saw the clips, but I don't watch it. No.
Most weeks, at least when Daniel Bryan is on, it is much better than both Raw and SmackDown. It is the ape show. It is amazing. It's the one show that Vince is clearly not watching. It's the show where you find out that AJ Styles is a flat earther thanks to Daniel Bryan being a bully. It's amazing. Anyways, Shinsuke was on it this week. JBL is on it this week on panel with Renee. And I've never seen JBL be more respectable of a human being. It was very odd to see. JBL is the last bastion of some potentially inflammatory statements that could get the company in trouble on TV on USA every single week. Do you get excited at all ever to watch Monday night or Tuesday night or even the pay-per-views? Is there anything that you can look forward to that isn't just good wrestling that might actually be interesting for a non-wrestling fan?
If I know there's a return, a highly anticipated return, if I know that there's going to be a title match of some, like a universal title match, a world title match, if I've heard rumblings of rumor of something happening that's big, sure. But I don't get excited the way that I got excited during the Attitude Era. One, that's just because I'm an adult. I can't really get excited about much these days because I'm working so much, and wrestling is part of my job. So keeping up with wrestling is less a passion and more a profession. It's still something that I really love and enjoy, but it doesn't have that same place of escapism that it had when I was a kid. And the other thing is just like the way the wrestling business functions is not the same. Where it was every week, something crazy has to happen in order for the ratings to stay as high as possible. because there's this other company that is trying to do the same thing and trying to destroy you. So there isn't that gamesmanship anymore. They're a lot more controlled, and they save a lot more things. They don't hotshot stuff. Mm-hmm. They could have hotshotted Finn Balor back before WrestleMania. They chose to wait. They sort of load up certain parts of the year with the best stuff. So SummerSlam, WrestleMania, Royal Rumble, those sorts of big pay-per-views get all of the exciting creative. And the creative for these periods of time are experimental, or they're lackadaisical, or they're formulaic. And that's, I don't know why that is. It might be partially because these guys work so much. There's no downtime. There's no off season. There's no time to refresh yourself. So it's like, oh God, it's Monday afternoon. We need a main event. Why don't we just do another 6-man tag? Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Or we need to advance this angle and get some heat. Why don't we do a contract signing? Like, these are all things that have become cliches, mm-hmm. and that make me roll my eyes and make me want to fast forward through the entire show, because I'm just like, okay, I've seen the contract signings before. I've seen the dueling promos of people interrupting each other. I've seen the 6-man tags. I've seen it all. Impress me with something. Give me something fresh. Give me something different. But it's hard to do every week.
Sure.
I feel bad for these guys and gals. I don't know if there are many women on the creative team besides Stephanie, but just to cover my bases, guys and gals who have to write these shows, it's tough. It's really, really tough.
I think this is a great way to end this then. Final question. If you had wrestling ability, if your body allowed for it, would you ever want to be a professional wrestler?
Absolutely not.
Yeah.
Absolutely not. Never in a million years. I love watching it. I respect the work that these guys and gals put into it more than you'll ever know. I mean, they put their bodies on the line every single week, weekend,
actually,
all the time. It's crazy, but I wouldn't want to do it. I wouldn't want to. You've seen the horror stories of people who get chewed up by the wrestling industry. You've heard about, crazy things that happen backstage and Vince, blowing up at people on the writing staff. I wouldn't want to be a writer. I wouldn't want to be in marketing. I like watching it. That's it. I don't want to wrestle. I don't want to be a writer. I don't want to be a manager. There are a lot of people who are fans who would love that opportunity, and that's just not for me.
I actually lied. Based on what you just said, this is actually the last question. I apologize. You are a real life sports journalist. You are not just a yes man. You're actually covering the sports as a journalist. So,
yes.
This might be uncomfortable, but do you think ESPN should be in bed with the WWE, or it's complete bullshit because it's just a glorified press release every week?
I don't really have an opinion either way about that. WWE is a very unique organization in the way that they approach the media compared to Major League Baseball, the NBA, the NFL. Every sports organization is different. And, I can think back to the days when ESPN would never even consider covering wrestling, ever. Mm-hmm. And this is true of every sport. The hardest part is to get the access. And the way that journalism is going, you have to have some sort of relationship with the organization, with the team, with the player, with the league, to get anything. So what ESPN is doing with their editorial around wrestling is what it is, and it offers access that some places don't get. And if you really want to get the dirt, go read Meltzer.
Yeah.
That's all I have to say. There's plenty of options for every wrestling fan and every wrestling fan's level of interest in the machinations of the WWE.